I'm going to read in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 1. I was thinking that it's probably a morning like this morning. I bet you it was bright and the sun was coming up. That's just kind of in my mind how I sense it. But here it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales or like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So what really struck me, what I've been pondering here, is that here the disciples of Jesus, there's the 12 disciples, plus he had many other disciples as well. We know the women were part of them. They seem perplexed. They almost seem confused. Why? Why were they perplexed and confused? I mean, Jesus told them these things were going to happen. We see even in a different part in Matthew 28, he also prophesies about how he's going to suffer and he's going to be crucified. And the very next passage, we got the mother of the sons of Zebedee looking for the best spots for their sons sitting on the right and the left. And Jesus said, it's not mine to give. But what did he tell them? He said, remember, it's the rulers of this earth that use their authority over others. But I've come to serve, right? As a matter of fact, to lay my life down as a ransom for many. And what I was kind of pondering this morning is, we see when Jesus came, it says he was bringing a different kingdom, a totally different kingdom. It's the opposite. And even though they heard all these things, they really did not understand it. Even after he rose from the grave, they still didn't understand it. Look in Acts 1. Acts 1. Right in the beginning, Jesus is speaking, and it says, I'll start in verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still looking for a natural kingdom. They still didn't understand. Even if he died, he rose again. They now are seeing the resurrected Christ with their natural eyes, and they're still looking for a natural kingdom. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and all to the ends of the earth. And so I guess what I've been pondering is they didn't really understand it. Jesus said, he goes, my kingdom is not of this world. For if it was of this world, my disciples, they'd fight. But they don't fight. My kingdom is not of this world. And I guess here we are, what, a little more than 2,000 years, like 2,000 years later. And my question is, do we have a revelation of the kingdom? What kingdom are we living for? There was a song that we sang this morning. I love the songs that were chosen by Paul and Stacy. It said, Jesus, my hope is only Jesus. Give me Jesus. He's our solution to all of our problems. This is the kingdom. Jesus, right? Him. We want him. This is a spiritual kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom, it says. But I tell you, when I face problems sometimes, if I'm really honest, sometimes I can think about how I'm going to get through them. And it's often depending upon some natural ability or maybe some natural money, which is going to pass away, rather than going, Lord, I got a problem. I need you. Lord, you got to show me how to get through this. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. I need you to provide the way of escape. It's a different way of thinking. The disciples were thinking about a natural kingdom. And even after they saw all those miraculous things, they were still thinking about a natural kingdom. How about you and I? What kingdom are we seeking? As we see the world that we're living in becoming more and more tumultuous, what is our security? What is going to deliver us? We can see wars and rumors of wars. Boy, I just heard of two more this week, right? We got the Russia big military buildup on Ukraine's border. We got South China Sea. We got more ships there than in a long time in the end of March. We got all kinds of things. Oh boy, does that put fear into us? Or do we say, you know what? He overcame the devil. In this world, we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Give me Jesus. He's our solution to all of our problems. What kingdom are we living for? And you know what? That comes down to how we live our life every day. What kingdom are we living for? We serve a living God. You're not going to find him among the grave or in the tomb. He's a living God. He's seated in heaven at the right hand of his Father, living to make intercession for you and me so that we can be victorious in our lives on this earth. But because our heart and our mind are already seated in heavenly places, right? We are already seeking a different kingdom. What does he say? Seek first my kingdom. And all the other things we know on this earth, they'll fall into place. But seek first my kingdom. That's what he's commanded us. Are we seeking first his kingdom? I guess that's kind of a question I've been pondering. And I'm pondering it myself. What am I seeking first your kingdom? Because if so, we won't be shaken. But everything else can be shaken. And so I want to encourage us to live not just having heard about this resurrection, not just having heard about Jesus, just like they heard about what was going to happen. They heard about this new kingdom, but they didn't understand it. Some of them did get the glimpse of it, though. Let me tell you, after they got the Holy Spirit, Peter and Paul were different. We see many of them later on in Acts. They got a revelation, and they did not count their life dear to them. Right? They were willing to go all in because they had a vision of an eternal kingdom, and that's what they were living for. They realized they were pilgrims. What did it say in Hebrews 11? They realized they're just passing through. This was temporary. But how about you and I? We don't want to be like some of those disciples. We've heard about the resurrection of Jesus. We've heard all these things, but how are we living? Are we truly living as pilgrims? Are we just passing through? Are we living for an eternal kingdom? Or are we scared? Are we nervous when we hear, oh man, you know, the end is probably drawing near. Amen. You know what? We should be excited if the day of Jesus is drawing near. That's what it should be in our hearts. And Lord, if it's not, show me what's hindering. I want to be excited. I want to be hastening the day of the Lord, it says in 2 Peter, right? And so I guess that's kind of my question my thoughts I've been pondering is, what kingdom am I really living for? Even though I may have heard and read about this heavenly kingdom, this eternal kingdom, but what kingdom am I living for? And I guess that's the question I kind of want to leave with you is, what kingdom are you living for when it comes to day-to-day life and the problems and the way we view things? What kingdom are we living for? I'm going to finish off with a verse describing the kingdom we should be living for in Daniel 7. And then I'll be finished and I'll leave it with you guys to discuss further. Daniel 7. Verse 13, it says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. The kingdoms of this earth, they come and go. We can look in the history books. We can read the Bible. Kingdoms come and go. And we can see now there's a shift in power happening even on this natural earth. But let me tell you, there is a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it says it's an everlasting kingdom. That's the one I want to be part of. As the Lord prayed, right? Our Father who art in heaven, right? What did it talk about? Your kingdom, let your kingdom come. Is that our heart cry? Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come. And so I want to be part of that kingdom. You know what? The things of this earth, this kingdom, they are passing away. But the heavenly kingdom, if it's an everlasting kingdom. And that is who Jesus is, right? That he is the king of that kingdom. And so we have a great hope. And we can face the future with peace and rest in our hearts, even though, you know what? There's going to be difficult times. But Jesus says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world, right? So he can help us. And I'm so thankful. That tomb was empty. He is risen. He is alive, right? Because of that, we can face tomorrow, as the hymn would say, right? We can face tomorrow. And so I think we need to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, right? We should be encouraging one another, reminding us to set our mind on things above, to be seeking the spiritual kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, even today, as we just remember, Lord, that that tomb was empty on that sunny Sunday morning as those women arrived, Lord, that the stone had been rolled away. Lord, we thank you that you defeated the devil, that you made a public spectacle on the cross. But Lord, you did it in a way that was the opposite of what human understanding would have thought. Lord, you were willing to humble yourself to the point of death, but in that you destroyed him. Lord, help us to have that kind of mind, that kind of understanding, Lord, a spiritual mindset that would see that the way of your kingdom is completely opposite compared to the way of this world. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the great hope that we have, Lord, that we no longer need to be slaves of sin, but we can be slaves of righteousness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.